Humanity stands at the precipice of the most transitional times in all of history. There is a rumbling within the mass consciousness, a stirring, and a subconscious urging that is calling those who are awakening to step into the light of their own magnificence. What does that mean, to stand in one's own magnificence? It means to remember who you are and stand within that truth, to take one's power back and to willingly facilitate one's own conscious evolution. I believe that each journey is individual and unique. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. My best wishes to you for a happy new year. Thank you, one and all, for again taking your time to join me and to open your mind and listen and contemplate this information. It's always greatly appreciated. I very much appreciate those who take the time to comment and those who have contacted me, and it's been really, really an amazing experience to get to know some of you on a personal level, and I really thank you one and all for that as well. Some of you may be familiar with the video cast that I've been doing with Greg and Cheryl called Deconstructing Oz. We're planning to continue to do those in the upcoming year for all those that are interested. So again, thanks for tuning into that and giving them your support as well, too. Two really wonderful, amazing people. I'm so glad I got to know them. So thank you. The title for this presentation is The Turning Point, Embracing the Darkness. This is an older presentation that I put on my YouTube channel a few years ago, but I decided, again, to revamp it and present it on the Doug Michael Truth website. A few people contacted me specifically asking for this one, so I have no problem, you know, redoing it, and I hope it finds you well. No longer can it be denied that humanity has reached a crisis point. Yet so many do just that. They deny what is staring them right in the face and immerse themselves within every distraction imaginable, be it pop culture and entertainment, technology, social media, drugs, prescription or otherwise, media infotainment, or simply the day-to-day grind of slaving to survive. The list is endless. While the consciousness remains mired within the cultural paradigms, each moment brings us one step closer to the outright collapse of civilization, and it's happened before. History repeats. Humanity has allowed a parasitic ruling class to prey upon them for millennia. However, I feel very strongly that this dark ruling force is in its final death throes, that its time is up. Humanity is infected with a parasite. It is a consciousness parasite, and our inability to become aware of it has brought us to this place where we find ourselves in the here and now. Ultimately, our globalist misleaders, who happen to be the most sadistic and psychotic amongst us, are a reflection of our own inner darkness, our shadow selves, if you like, our own deep, undealt with inner darkness, trauma, and repression. Humanity's inability to recognize this dark aspect causes it to be projected outwards collectively so that the world can mirror back to us what we are refusing to deal with that resides within us. Those in positions of power are the most infected, the most detached from self, the most traumatized. We are all infected by this virus to greater or lesser degrees, and becoming aware of it is crucial in these times if we are to survive as a species. The world is reflecting this illness back at us, and to me, the first step is to look within and to embrace the dark aspect, not run from it. There is no other way. Human beings are terribly dissociated, that is to say, psychologically split. Most seem to be locked within the normal waking state of consciousness, you know, what psychology refers to as the ego. You could call it a number of things. You can call it the secondary consciousness, the overlaid consciousness. In the Castaneda books, the character Don Juan referred to it as a foreign installation. I refer to it as the conversation, you know, the normal waking state of consciousness, the thing we're thinking with, the conversation that's the chatter that's always going on. And if you're sitting there saying, what conversation is he talking about? Yeah, that one. That's the one. We seem to identify so strongly with the aspect of ourselves, you know, that thinks. Here's the thing that very few people can wrap their minds around. That aspect is tiny when the true totality of your whole being is taken into consideration and realized. The difficulty is that the other aspects of the psyche are blocked off from us, and that includes the dark side, the repressed and undealt with trauma. The dark side is our repressed guilt, our fears, our anxieties, and everything we are taught to hate about ourselves. Our culture teaches us to run from it, often by taking extreme measures, such as ingesting psychotropic drugs that will eventually destroy the emotional centers of the brain, resulting in empty, soulless beings, metaphorically and quite literally. Repression will not do anymore in this apocalyptical age. This time in which we find ourselves is very unique in that the energies that are present now are facilitating a rising to the surface of all of the repression, and that includes the dark side of the self. To me, it is in the effort and the willingness of the individual to embrace that darkness that will bring much-needed healing both to the individual, to relationships, and ultimately to the outer world. The inner world of the psyche and the outer world of physicality are intimately connected. Remember this saying, "Any fool can run towards the light, but it takes a true master to shine their light into the darkness." I contend that the inability of the majority to acknowledge the challenges and crises that humanity faces stems from a deep inability to embrace the darker aspects of their own psyche. Thus, the darkness is collectively projected onto the global stage by a traumatized, collective, and shattered ego consciousness. Deep, unresolved inner psychic trauma manifests in the outer world as breakdown, degeneration, collapse, and chaos, acting as a mirror and reflecting back upon us all that needs healing. It's important to also realize that society itself contributes to this inner breakdown. Just look at the dysfunction all around you, and don't forget to congratulate yourself for being able to see it, right? So many cannot, or they flat out refuse to. The majority appear to be outer-directed, lost within external stimuli and collectivism, always seeking the next fix in whatever form of distraction it may appear. It is the inner-directed person that will find salvation, for it cannot come from outside of you in the form of a god, a guru, a government. Of course, we're programmed, indoctrinated, and conditioned to constantly look outside of our own self for answers, to endlessly seek the approval of others, and to avoid the so-called darker emotions at all costs. Seeking answers, salvation, or meaning from a dysfunctional world on the verge of total breakdown is like asking the jailer to lead you out of the prison cell. I put it like this. You must strive to be your own leader, your own teacher, your own shaman, your own guru. The moment you externalize to find your answer is when it is all given away and all is lost. The only truth, the only guidance, and the only answer already exists within you. There is no outside savior. The only true path to salvation is internal. Follow the road that leads within. I cannot stress enough that I feel that this age is presenting to us an extraordinary opportunity and a calling to return to individuality and selfhood. That is to say, to reestablish one's own inner connection to the all that is and to define one's own uniqueness and then stand within and take deliberate action to bring that light into this darkened world. All that has remained hidden is being unveiled, and try to think of this in psychological terms. It means the repression is coming to the surface. Far better, I think, to embrace it willingly, acknowledge it, and make conscious efforts to heal it rather than hide from it through becoming immersed within the outer collective sickness or through trying to mask it with psychotropic medications. Until we can willingly embrace the darkness, meaning the darkness of our own souls, the outer world will never change, and in fact, it will simply get worse until complete breakdown and collapse occurs. We are teetering dangerously close to the edge. Each individual must make the conscious effort to deal with their inner darkness, to acknowledge it, embrace it, accept it, and heal it. Running from it is no longer an option if we wish to have an inhabitable future on the earth. This is the turning point. Where we go is our decision, and that, of course, begins with individual choice. In 1961, the Fabian socialist Aldous Huxley came right out and revealed a part of the agenda. He said, "There will be, in the next generation or so, a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution. This Fabian socialist, he wasn't lying. Just look at the culture in which we live. People actually celebrate the destruction of their freedom. Roughly 20% of Americans are on some form of SSRI antidepressant medication simply to cope with the repression that is rising to the surface. Over time, those drugs destroy the neurons in the frontal lobe of the brain, the area that deals with emotion. Once neurons are destroyed, they do not regenerate. We are emotional beings, so to destroy the areas of the brain that deal with emotion is, in my eyes, murdering the most important aspect of what it means to be a human being, the feeling part of ourselves. Those poisons permanently damage or destroy the emotions of the unfortunate souls that take them for too long. Ladies and gentlemen, I've witnessed this with people in my own life, and it's really sad. The freelance journalist Jim Stone, in his expose on SSRI drugs, claims antidepressants often cause people to become a supernova of beauty and well-being for a period of a few weeks to months, as everything that once made them beautiful is driven to its maximum and held there until it dies from overexertion. They then slowly fade into a dark and numb state of nothingness. Since the neurons in the brain itself cannot send a pain signal to alert an individual to the destruction taking place, it all happens without complaint. Headaches are felt from inside the walls of blood vessels, not neurons. Neurons die quietly. And moreover, antidepressants affect only the frontal lobes, which leave those who take them able to function in a logical sense, which hides the true magnitude of how horrible and damaging they are, and the fact that people can still function as zombies and work while on them and after taking them is being used to cover up the true horror of what they really do. I recommend checking out Jim Stone's work that he's done to expose the truth about antidepressants. It's very, very, very telling, especially if you know people that are considering taking them or perhaps have been on them for any length of time. It's definitely worth looking into. I have personally read hundreds, if not thousands, of personal testimonies of people whose lives have been permanently damaged from those horrific poisons. They have become empty vessels. The future that Fabian Huxley described is manifesting right before our eyes, and our refusal to deal with our own darkness will ensure our extinction. Even if it's not a physical extinction, everything that makes us human will be destroyed if we refuse the opportunity that this age presents to us. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's getting beyond the point of just these psychotropic and SSRI drugs. With this push for artificial intelligence, companies and organizations and agencies are developing brain implant technology that can analyze the chemical components in the brain and control moods that can alter behavior, that can erase bad memories or download good ones. This is where we are, and you could refer to my presentation called AI and the Singularity, if you like, on this site. There's an article and there's also an audio presentation as well. You've got agencies like DARPA that are heavily investing into these projects, mind hacking or brain hacking projects, they call them. So we can bypass the drugs altogether and just have an implant in our brain that can control our moods. You know how many people will openly accept that? You mean I don't have to have bad thoughts anymore? Instead of just dealing with this repressed crap that we carry around. Oh, just erase it. People will embrace this technology with open arms. As Robert Monroe claimed, he said, "Emotion is the key to and driving force underlying every thought and action in human existence. To destroy a human being's ability to effectively feel and emote is the destruction of the soul. It is by design, and let me ask you, what kind of world will reflect back upon a collective consciousness that has lost its ability to feel? Certainly not a place in which I would want to live. It would be a dead, soulless, dystopian prison, a reflection of the broken consciousness projecting onto it. I think it's important to take into consideration that those who have extinguished their inner light often live to extinguish the light of others, to siphon their energy, if you will. Now, many do this unconsciously, and many, the psychopathic types, do it knowingly. We can refer to them as energy thieves or psychic vampires. These types have cut themselves off from their own inner beingness and live to siphon it off of others. Again, the most toxic just so happen to be in positions of power. The ones most infected by this parasite of consciousness are the ones we term psychopathic, and they rise to positions of power in this world. In fact, people willingly go and vote for them. Just give your power away to a psychopathic master. Yeah, that'll fix the problems. These types strive to steal from others what they do not have within themselves. It's good to be aware of this in the coming days because the apocalyptic age rips away the veil, so to speak. When the light enters, it shines upon all of the dirt, toxicity, and imbalance, and in individual terms, that means our repressed dark side is going to be revealed and shown to us, whether we like it or not. Far better to willingly welcome and embrace it. In the collective sense, those who have hidden in the shadows are becoming plainly visible. Their machinations, their existence, their games, and their evil is being exposed as never before in history. From my perspective, it's important to recognize this in the outer world, but far more important to realize what is going on within one's own psyche. This is actually a tremendous opportunity for healing and growth, or you can ignore it and face the consequences if that is your choice. As far as the outer experience is concerned, what can I say? Fear no evil, because you are about to come face to face with it. Remember that it is a reflection of inner unrecognized trauma. It is mankind's stubborn avoidance of this inner darkness that gives rise to the evil that proliferates in the world. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here, ladies and gentlemen, and talk about some experiences I had going back now just about 8 years. Beginning in 2010, I had experiences with the ancient shamanic medicine called ayahuasca. I was shown in a very dramatic way that this mind parasite I was talking about exists. For me, my experiences with the medicinal brew were inner journeys. What this brew seems to do is to put the ego in its place for a while and expose the hidden aspects of the self. It does not seek to push the ego away, but rather to embrace it as another part of itself. Once the ego surrenders to the experience, you enter into a dialogue with a part of yourself that seems to be veiled under normal waking consciousness. It's an absolutely awesome experience. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take this time right now to say that I do not advocate the use of this for anyone. It's a personal choice. It's something that must be approached, I think, in an individual basis. I'm not an advocate for the use of this plant medicine. I'm certainly not suggesting that there's any shortcuts to enlightenment, because there's not. And I'm certainly not suggesting that this is like the only way to achieve this understanding. I'm just sharing an experience because it ties into what I'm talking about here today. So again, please, if this is something that you're pursuing, take the time to really consider what you're getting yourself into, okay? So I'm not being an advocate for the use of this. Again, I'm just sharing experiences that I had and what I learned from, you know, doing this. So please, please bear that in mind. I've taken this plant brew 6 times, and each time it gave me gifts of healing, you know, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The last 3 experiences were so intense that my life is forever altered, for the better. This is not some thrill-seeking party drug, okay? Ayahuasca is a powerful medicine, and it should always be approached in the correct manner, as I said. It's not something that you just jump into willy-nilly or do out of curiosity. Please don't approach it like that. In the Quechua language, ayahuasca translates as teacher plant. It's understandable why it's called that. Once the ego surrenders to the higher mind, the true self, right, the primary consciousness, what you truly are, higher self, whatever you want to call it, there is this dialogue that occurs and a voice speaks to you, which it is you. It's your primary consciousness, your big self, again, higher self, whatever you want to call it, it's you. In my experience, this voice, my higher voice, if you like, answered my questions with wisdom, humor, love, and guidance. It let me observe the different aspects of the self subjectively. It shows you that you are the observer and the observed, that the thing you think with, ego, right, is not you at all, but just a small, albeit persistent, aspect. The ego is necessary and it does serve a function. However, when we identify with the ego as being, you know, our whole entire self, we remain split off and inwardly disconnected. In my third experience with the medicine, after I purged, I'll spare you the details, but just suffice it to say, you will get sick, because anything in your gut that doesn't belong, whether it's microbes or bacteria or parasites, it's coming out one way or another. This is a heavy, heavy purgative medicine. But after I purged, the medicine started kicking in, and my ego, right, asked the question, am I going insane? Now the voice, higher mind, whatever, responded, the ego does not go willingly. It said, you are not the boss here. Now the same thing happened in the experience that I had after this one. So this was on two completely separate occasions. You know, I asked, this is the question, right? I asked myself, am I going insane? And, you know, this other voice says, the ego does not go willingly. Just matter-of-factly like that. Now for me, in my experience, this, and I have to say, the active ingredient in this brew, ayahuasca, is a neurotransmitter called DMT, dimethyltryptamine, which is probably the most potent psychedelic known to man. Okay, so put that out there too. It is never a good idea to just willy-nilly fuck around with such powerful things, okay? So please, if you're going to approach this experience, take the time to really educate yourself and to know what it is that you're getting into, okay? Now, the ayahuasca assisted in helping me to recognize my own shadow, that is to say, this repressed crap, this dark side. It actually, in a way, kind of walked me through the darkness. It showed me that I carried around a lifetime of repression. Now, how this works is this medicine goes to work on an area of the brain known as the amygdala, which is the area that we store all of our repressed baggage and our garbage. Think of it as the dumpster of the brain. So metaphorically speaking, this medicine walks you through the garbage dumpster so that you can, you know, deal with some of that shit that you threw away and forgot about. So it brought just enough to the surface to show me that in order to be free, I needed to let go. In the first experience, ladies and gentlemen, I cried like a wounded animal. I mean guttural, crying, looking at these things that I had repressed. But I have to tell you, it was the most liberating experience of my life. After the emotional purging, the lessons began. Now for me, the pattern was three sessions of purely physical healing and purging, and the fourth was emotional purging. The fifth and the sixth were receiving teachings. Now, it's not the plant that's giving you teachings, it's your own mind. For some reason, this neurotransmitter kind of, let's say, it pierces the veil of the ego and shows you what's already there within you, which is why I could sit before you today and claim we are magnificent beings. We've just forgotten. Now, in these experiences, again, I feel that I was accessing a higher part of my own self. Each time, I would be astounded by, you know, the intense visual stimuli, in awe of the beauty, and the voice would say, it's you, it's you, it's you. The medicine gave to me some pretty heavy psychological understanding, and it showed me how magnificent we truly are as human beings. We are eternal, infinite consciousness, and many of us take life so damn seriously. There was a lot of deep belly laughing, right, as the medicine showed me how absurd so many things are that we take so seriously. In each of these experiences, I was urged to stand within and define my own uniqueness. Now, after the ego surrendered, the higher voice gave to me little snippets of profound information that I call wisdom nuggets. And let me tell you, when I suggested earlier that the ego does not go willingly, boy, that's the truth. See, the ego likes to put things into nice little neat boxes. That's its job. And stack it on the shelf neatly. But when you're being overwhelmed by this other aspect of the psyche, let's say, it's a flood and the ego can't do it. It can't make sense of all this information that's flooding in. So finally, it surrenders. And then that's when you just kind of be, and this profound information, it just comes through. It was really an amazing experience, I have to tell you. But I heard things like this. There is no life after death. There is only life. Cardinal rule number one, you exist. Now this is kind of funny because I am not a religiously driven person at all. But the voice said, The kingdom of heaven is within you. And I know that something similar like that appears in the book of Matthew. I am not a Bible thumper, never really have been. It's just odd that it would choose those words, or I would choose those words, my higher self, whatever you want to call it. I love this one. Your people go to churches, synagogues, and mosques, never realizing that I am right there within them. Now this one, in the last experience I had, which was 2012, which is the last experience I will have, I never need to take this stuff ever again. The three experiences I had in 2010, 11, and 12, because, you know, I separated these experiences. I didn't want to overdo it because it was so intense, you know. But in the last experience in 2012, the voice must have said 10,000 times, what is about to occur across this planet will shake it to its core. Hell, all we have to do is just take a look around to see that it's already occurring. You know, things are moving and things are falling into place. We're being pushed to accept artificial intelligence. The government just disclosed, oh yeah, the UFOs are real. Yeah, we know about it. So we have all these things that are coming to the forefront. And I think it's really important to begin to pay attention. The voice said, the dark ones are moving. In the fourth session I had with this medicine, I asked if the ruling forces of this planet were alien, and the response was, of course it's alien. It is alien to everything that it means to be human. Now again, I know this really sounds weird probably to a lot of people, but you enter this dialogue, okay? So you have your normal waking consciousness, right? Ego, you know, the conversation, if you will. And it's just talking to another aspect of yourself. So that's the dialogue I'm talking about. It's really a really amazing experience, but I can understand how it would scare the living shit out of a lot of people. The experience showed me that human consciousness is infected by a parasite. I saw an image of two serpents twisting into a DNA spiral. Within the spiral were little alien faces. And I think maybe, I don't know, it was trying to show me that our DNA contains this alien element, something foreign and unnatural to us. It told me that this time in which we are living is the catalyst, the turning point. It said, it's time to gather my people and that my people will come to you and you will know my people. It told me that this was a parting of the ways, and I think what it meant is that like energies will resonate, whereas unlike energies will fall away, and I think it meant in relationships. You know, there's a lot of New Age talk about killing the ego, maybe even certain Buddhist teachings. I don't buy it. I don't think killing an aspect of the psyche is the way to do it. I think maybe reconciling the inner split and maybe, let's say, rising above the control the ego has, because it's running around like it's king of the castle. Maybe seeing the split. And, you know, ayahuasca is not the only way to do this. It's got 10 million ways that you could do this. And I think, again, each path is unique. I did not take this medicine to have some kind of mystical experience. I studied for years and taught myself how to make it because I was diagnosed with a very nasty illness, an illness called multiple sclerosis or MS, which there is no cure for and which is just debilitating. And, you know, you go to these doctors and they say, well, you know, we don't know what causes it. There's nothing we could do for you. Shoot up this medicine, inject this medicine every day, and we'll see you back in 6 months. We'll do another MRI. That was not good enough for me. And I think some people, when you're diagnosed with an incurable, nasty illness, you're willing to try anything. And that's why I first embarked on this journey. And like I said, in other writings or presentations that I've done, I got a lot more than what I bargained for. But I was not looking for a mystical experience. I was looking for a physical healing. So again, this talk of killing the ego, I don't buy it. When that small aspect of ourselves is being overwhelmed by the medicine, you know, it freaks out. It's trying to cling to the ruling position it thinks it has. The higher aspect actually finds this amusing. Now, eventually, if the person can do it, can surrender the ego, you know, and in my experience, the ego was thanked by the higher mind. It said, your function is honored and necessary. Thank you. Just like that. And it was just mind-blowing, I gotta tell you. In these visions I had, in these experiences, I was showed a lot about what it referred to as the dark ones, right? What I call the consortium, you know, this hidden elite ruling force. It's absolutely parasitic. It vibrates at a much lower frequency than a human being. They are like a cancer on the earth, but ultimately a reflection of humanity's own inner darkness and imbalance. In a weird kind of way, it serves us. It was made very clear to me in this experience that its time is up. It told me that what it called the sleepers deserve our compassion because they too were a product of the cultural system which it referred to as a cacophony of bullshit. This medicine helped me to deal with the death of someone I loved very much. I was very, very close with him. He was my younger brother. And when the first experience I had in 2010 was only about 2 months after he had passed, so I was still mourning. And again, I was diagnosed with MS, which is the primary reason why I took it. I did not know that I would get relief from this. I didn't know these things were going to happen to me, that I'd have these realizations by taking it. Like I said, I got a lot more than what I bargained for. It showed me basically the experience that there is no death. Now, this medicine can help a person deal with trauma and repression, depression and loss. For me, and I'm sure there's other people that have had this experience, you might have heard them say the same thing, it is a lifetime of psychotherapy in, 6 to 8 hours. I was shown that separation is an illusion, and the sense of connectedness to nature and the cosmos and all of life was just overwhelming. I just felt so connected to everything. One of the first things I noticed in each experience was severe time distortion. I would close my eyes to the most intense visual stimuli for what seemed like hours, opening my eyes to see on the clock that only 1 minute had passed. So 1 minute felt like hours, Time is an illusion also. Each moment is an eternity. All that exists is this eternal moment now. I can't count how many times the voice resonated through my entire being with the words, I am, I am. After the initial purging, it was like the weight of the world was lifted away. We think of enlightenment in terms of knowledge, right? Or luminescence. I see the light now. But after having these experiences, I tend to think of it in terms of weight. Get rid of what is weighing you down and you will rise of your own accord, right? Picture the hot air balloon. The sandbags weigh it down, and think of the sandbags as your guilt, your fears, your repression, your traumas. You just cut those sandbags away, and what happens? The balloon floats of its own accord. You see, we are already enlightened. We've just forgotten. I like to say that the ayahuasca experience introduces one to oneself. In one of the sessions, as I was being instructed, the voice said, "You still see yourself as something separate from me." So ego asked, "Well, who are you?" And the voice replied, "I am you." I grinned ear to ear, had this shit-eating grin on my face. And the voice said, "You see, I smile through you." In most of the sessions, the presence was playful, right? When I say presence, it's not like there was something external there. Again, I want to stress that for me, these were all very, very internal experiences. I didn't go to the spirit world or some other realm. It was just, I went in within myself. In the last experience I had in 2012, this aspect of my psyche was stern and no nonsense. And I will say, these experiences did change my life forever. Sometimes the medicine will be gentle and playful, and other times it will put you through the ringer. Each experience is unique, and each person is unique. I think that anyone who's done this probably has had a different experience than anyone else who's done it. And again, I want to reiterate this, ladies and gentlemen. I am not advocating anyone to go and do this. Again, it's something that is up to the individual whether they want to pursue this or not. And I'm certainly not trying to be a spokesperson for it, saying that it's going to bring you enlightenment. Again, I took it for medicinal reasons, and this is what happened. I'm just sharing my experience, and I was debating whether or not I was going to talk about the ayahuasca experience, because I know in the past that I have, and I've seen a bunch of light-sider people just get on board, "Oh, mother ayahuasca," and like it's this magic elixir. No such thing. I'm just sharing my experience. That's all. And the reason is because I think it ties in to a lot of what this presentation is about. So please keep that in mind. As I said in the beginning, most people are afraid to stand in their own magnificence. The overlaid consciousness, right, the ego, which is a tiny aspect of the totality of the psyche, convinces us that we are small or insignificant. The medicine can help to pull the veil away and reveal to us those hidden aspects of the self. At least in my experience, that's what happened. It was an immense experience and certainly not for everyone. Not everyone is ready to have their ego illusions completely shattered or to have the true magnitude of what they are revealed to them. The ego has defenses and it will fight tooth and nail to maintain its perceived position of rulership. I refer to it as the falsely enthroned king. You know, it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, we're afraid to look at our inner darkness, which is worrisome. But to me, it's far more worrisome that we're afraid to face our innermost light. That's the real problem. Until we do look at the darkness, though, we won't be able to embrace the totality of what we are, not even in a conceptual sense. Now, in the Western world, most people will seek out an ashram, usually in South America, somewhere Brazil, Peru, whatever, and go take the brewing ceremony under the guidance of a, quote, shaman. Now, I did not have the ability nor the desire to do this. I dedicated 2 full years to study and trial and error and learned how to make this medicine myself. I had to become my own shaman. In these experiences, I was urged to not externalize for answers, kind of shown that the answers I was looking for were already inherent within me. In fact, I think the message of standing in one's uniqueness is a crucial message for these times. We are in a world which seeks to collectivize everyone, and the new world system of subjugation will be constructed on the ashes of selfhood and individuality. I call it a grand paradox. We are all interconnected and essentially, ultimately, one consciousness. However, there is no vibratory expression that is quite the same. It is individuality within the wholeness that contains it. It is one infinite eternal consciousness fragmented into infinite forms of expression. There is no separation. That's an ego illusion. The powers that be foster this illusion of separation at every turn. Divide and conquer is their modus operandi. Now, when I say this, I'm not talking about oneness in the New Age sense, the watered-down, cheapened, crap version of it. We are individuated consciousness. We are individuated, absolutely sovereign, but yet still within a wholeness, if you will. It's a paradox, like I say. The medicine showed me that there is a deep connection between the outer reality and the inner one. Again, no separation. To heal the world, we must first heal our own psyches and emotional wounds. Then the outer will reflect the inner harmony. There is no other way. Armed, violent uprisings ain't gonna do it. Waving banners in the streets? Yeah, we've seen how well that works. Now for me, the ayahuasca helped me to walk through my own dark shadow and to let go of so much hurt and repression. It had to show me everything that I'm not, such as past traumas, feelings of being less than, false images of ego mind, you know, etc., before it could introduce me to myself. It was truly a gift. Being reborn spiritually is an act of letting go. It is deconstruction and rebirth. The age we are living in is a calling to do this, and I believe that the energies that are present in this time can facilitate this conscious shift. All of the darkness is being exposed like never before. Those with just a modicum of awareness can easily see this exposure in the outer world. It's far more important to me to be aware of it within the inner world of the psyche. Our lifetime of repression, hurt, pain, suffering, trauma, feelings of inadequacy, inferiority, depression, fears, anxieties, and everything we would consider to be our dark emotions are rising to the surface now to be embraced and healed. I suggest getting in line with this process rather than fighting it. The ones who stubbornly resist it will suffer severe emotional trauma and breakdown in the not-too-distant future. If one chooses not to embrace this process willingly, they will be dragged through the mud and many will suffer total psychological breakdown. Those with the eyes to see it can already witness this occurring in the world and on a very major scale. I think that the explosion in the use of antidepressant medications is a huge part of this, as people seek, at all costs, to avoid facing themselves. They will embrace the destruction of the frontal lobes, you know, the emotional centers, rather than embracing the darker aspect of their being. What could be their greatest teacher is instead medicated away as these people suffer a slow emotional and spiritual death. The agenda behind the push for usage of these drugs is completely sinister. The Dark Ones want a world of unthinking, unfeeling automatons that will not question. Well, they've already got that. As I mentioned earlier, in one of the ayahuasca experiences, I was told, "Fear no evil, for you are about to come face to face with it." The time has come to stop avoiding the darkness and to embrace it, to stand in the light and the magnificence of what you truly are, to define yourself and walk your own unique path, to allow these darker emotions to be your guide, to reclaim one's psychic and emotional sovereignty, and to think for oneself, to forgive oneself, and to define your boundaries, to remember who and what you are, and to rejoice in that knowing. It's a crisis or an opportunity, depending on your perspective. I see these challenges that humanity faces as an enormous opportunity. There are forces and energies at work that will assist us if we are centered and standing within a sovereign attitude. Stand in the uniqueness that is you. Embrace those inner fears and let them show you the way to transformation. The alternative is not a pretty picture to contemplate. You are an infinite aspect of all that ever was, can, or will be. You were not created and you cannot be destroyed. You are. Remember, cardinal rule number one, you exist. The time is now. The gathering is here. I am convinced that we have arrived at the most crucial turning point in all of human history. We can either create balance and harmony or take the road to extinction. It is our choice, as it always was. And whether we are to create heaven on earth or a dystopian prison planet teetering on the precipice of extinction, that choice begins with you. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you so much for taking your time to listen, to open your mind. It's always appreciated. I truly do appreciate it. Again, I appreciate all the feedback. I want to tell you, I never got into doing this for any reason other than that it was my hope that some of my experiences or knowledge could assist others. You won't see any advertising on my site, and I never ask for donations or anything like that. I do this simply because I want to help if I can. That is my motivation. So again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for taking your time. Again, I wish each and every one of you prosperity, peace, and blessings for the new year. And again, thank you for taking your time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Doug Michael, and until next time, walk in peace.